Sheets. I am.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny thing.
Welcome to another episode of the Sofa King podcast, and today we're talking about coffee. From the Ethiopian slaves that bag it, the meth head truckers that deliver it, the really nice deaf person mocking baristas, to the overly complicated coffee ordering caffeine fiend zombie customers. So if you're interested in any of those things, then that's what we're going to be talking about on today's show. We do have a guest today. It is the magical Brian Ross.
Ooh. Also known as Discount Boy.
Discount Boy.
B. Ross.
Aliases.
B. Ross.
B. Ross.
That's his rapper name.
His hat has his name on it, if you guys didn't notice that. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, on the back of it. Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Really?
Oh. Bross.
I'm that guy.
You're like, Bross?
I'm the guy that has his name on the back of his hat. No, my boss lost a hockey bet, and he had to buy me this hat.
Oh, sweet.
That was a part of that.
Nice.
So go Kings.
So you're on our show promoting something. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I've been working relentlessly on a fantasy football-themed board game / card game. And I know that sounds weird, but on my free time, I make card games. And I should have brought you. I brought you guys one of them, but I didn't bring it today here. So
I heard it's like magic meets fantasy football?
The beta testing so far, people have loved it who hate sports and people who like sport. Because the thing is,
like sports hate it.
People hate it. They're like, this isn't real sports.
This is stupid.
No, the general consensus is everybody loves it. But, you know, like it's hard because it's a niche market, a giant niche market. I guess that's an oxymoron, but it's, you know, you don't have to understand real estate to like Monopoly, right?
Right.
So it's kind of that.
Right. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, I didn't really base it around not knowing sports. I just like the idea of fantasy football. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of building a team, and you get to trade players, you get to be a manager. And I was like, how come this doesn't exist in like a card board game form? Because right now, card games are like a big deal. It's called Forever Football, by the way. I haven't even
give the plug.
Yeah, so it's called Forever Football.
Forever Football, yes.
You have a www.
Yes, I have foreverfootball.org. Nice. It was going to be .com, but I thought organization was, you know. I'm trying. It's its own thing. It has no ties to the NFL.
I'm going to buy it. Right,
you're going to buy Calm and just
I will demand 15% if you do good. Yeah, if you do good, I'm taking part of the company.
at least you didn't do .net. .net is for losers.
Oh, dude. I'm not a .netter.
No.
But yes,
God, no.
And we're launching.
We don't even talk to them.
We're launching a Kickstarter on November 7th. So, and you can get a copy of it if you donate. So that's the thing. You know, if you donate high enough, you get to put yourself in the game.
Oh, that's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
And you can, if you donate, if you like top tier, you get like a bunch of copies of it. You get pint glasses with the logo. You also get the name your own team, come up with like the logo, and we'll design it and everything. So it's a labor of love. Me and a bunch of college students came. We've been working on it.
I've been following the progress. It's starting to look really good.
Yeah, it's starting off a little rough.
I was a little worried about it at first. It was kind of cartoony, but since the new logo stuff has happened and the new artwork and whatnot, it really looks good. I totally see some vision behind it. I just talked to one of my friends, unnamed. He won $35,000 in fantasy football last year. I was like, oh, I had no idea there was this.
Oh, it's
good.
Huge.
Serious.
God. You know, I didn't go into it making the product because I wanted it to make a product. I just like to make games.
Right.
And I like fantasy football. But then when I was doing the research, I found out that like fantasy football, just fantasy football, is a $4 billion industry.
Oh, my God.
$4 billion.
Huge. Well, that's why they do the DraftKings and stuff. They have these huge commercials.
No, it's
now
even more now.
Wow.
It's jumped because of the DraftKings. That was like 2-3 years ago before this all came afloat. Now, like, it's $4 billion industry. Just fantasy football only takes place 4 months out of the year.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to make a card game where you can just play this all year long. You
know? Of games, like, you don't see board games anymore that are big, but the things you do see is like strategy games are still big. There's still a huge cult around like Magic, like you guys play Magic.
Right.
And that's huge. There's another one like Dungeons and Dragons.
There's
or
all
something.
Kinds of
Well, they're
games,
not card games, though.
There's like, what's that other one where you're zombie?
Munchkin? Tarot cards?
Munchkins. Yeah, Munchkin's a card game. Yeah. Munchkin's like a party game.
Oh, that guy. Right.
We're talking about party games.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with Cards Against Humanity, all that stuff.
Right.
Like, dude, you should, at some point in the future, you guys have to know the story behind Cards Against Humanity. It's the greatest story of marketing of all time.
Is it a short story? Go for it.
Right now?
We're not on a time limit. You're on the
okay, so
we'll get to coffee eventually. We're not in a rush.
This is how smart.
You should taste this pizza, just not right now. So it's amazing.
Dude, this the sausage. Maybe later. Yeah.
Put it in your mouth.
No, Cards Against Humanity was originally a Kickstarter in 2012, I believe. Was it? Sorry, 2012. I don't want to be that guy. And they barely got their funding. Can you believe this? They had a $10,000 funding. This idea, it's so genius because what they did was they made this concept, right? This rule set for the games or for the game. And then they created like 20 cards. And then they ran a Kickstarter and they shot a video of them playing and explaining it. People were like, oh, that's dope. And then if you donated to the Kickstarter, you got to write your own card.
Nice.
And they didn't even generate their own content. They got paid.
That's why a lot of it sucks. You have to take half of it out to make it a good game.
The cards in there, they didn't even write. 90% of those cards were by people who donated. So
that's pretty cool.
And all they did was take a black and white card, slap some Helvetica on it, and they're like, fucking, they would start it for $10,000. They're a $12 million company now.
That's cool. Really good business concept. Like, it's like an open source thought mindset. Yeah. Like, same thing with, like, you used to be a huge fan of Threadless. You know?
Well, and they still keep it that way because you can go on their website and download the card templates and kind of print your stuff out.
They were brilliant. I don't think they did it by accident because it's what's known as an idea virus, which means, like, it markets itself. They had no advertisement.
Yeah.
So the product markets itself.
Right. Yeah. Once it hit the game stores and the nerds got a hold of it. Like,
dude,
it was
I heard about it from somebody at a bar. Like,
I heard about it from tons of people. Before I even played it, I fully knew that it existed. I knew it was really fun. I knew it was raunchy. Yeah. I knew it was adult. I knew it would be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like, well before, like a year and a half before I finally.
It's like they accidentally figured out the social algorithm or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make something viral.
Well, when you do like an open source thing like that, you put the interest of the population are making it. They're saying, I would like this, and they're making the product for you. That's super smart. Yes. It's like he used to buy these shirts called Threadless shirts. He always has really interesting shirts. Yeah. So if you don't know what Threadless is, the company would just basically say, hey, submit artwork to us.
Fuck, I'm stalking them.
If we pick your artwork, we'll make it a t-shirt. You get like $50 and then we'll use your design, which made artists super thrilled. Even though they're getting $50, they're selling tons of t-shirts.
Yeah,
I think they put their name on it or something on the first 100 or something like that.
No, they got credit like on the website. Like,
yeah.
And
so,
and on the bottom, it was like,
instead
signature.
Of hiring a graphic artist and say, hey, give me three samples, you end up with 100 different art samples that people have submitted
and
you pay
good.
Nothing for it.
Yeah, they're all legit. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're like a prestigious art judge, and all you're doing is grabbing people's work and slapping on a shirt and making $1 million
and paying $50. Yeah,
that's how the world works.
But I liked it. I still own a ton of those shirts, man. I'm all about this crowdsourcing trend, man. It's so good.
Yeah, so I mean, when yours is up and running, when you've got your, are you doing it with GoFundMe? You said
no, I'm doing a Kickstarter.
With Kickstarter, okay.
I wanted to go that route because
GoFundMe.
Well, it's not that. It's just that Kickstarter is
because why?
Yeah, those guys are gay.
I wanted to. He was very confident, so I was trying to take a stand. I was trying to be his Flavor Flav.
Well, GoFundMe is more like wedding cancer stuff like that. You know, like
it's not a business. It's not
more
for
personal,
business.
Yeah,
yeah
it's more.
Yeah,
it only helps fix
wedding cancer. Not you know,
it's the pity crowdsource.
You know what I think? Cancer weddings are so bittersweet. It's just like it's a roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah, you get married, you're so happy, and then like that night after the consummation, she dies.
Oh,
so sad.
Yeah, it's gonna be on Kickstarter November 7th, and pretty much it's the way to get a copy of it. You know, like I have the physical copies now. They're actually being reviewed by board game and sports enthusiasts.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
so when the Kickstarter happens, let us know.
Yeah.
And then we'll put it on our social web.
Yeah, I wanted to actually send a copy of it out to somebody for you from your show, you know, as like a
oh, that'd be dope.
Since you guys gave me this spot to talk about it, you know.
That'd be dope.
And it's a labor of love,
Is going the extra mile, like giving the bitch the long dick instead of just the normal dick.
Giving her the sweaty hog.
Giving her the long one. Brent's just shaking his head. He loves it.
He was waiting. I think his timing is like, when's the Brad Dick comic gonna
Yeah,
I was waiting for dicks. You guys are on dope number three, Tchotchke number one.
Nah, son.
Dicks just made their debut.
Yeah.
Oh, I have nicknames for you guys, by the way.
Oh, do you?
Because I'm a first time caller, but I'm a long time listener.
Okay.
Brent, I just know Brent, so I don't really have a nickname for Brent. We have
so excited.
I'm
always nondescript.
It's not nondescript.
Actually, you just said that too. That like people have something for Dave and something
Dave's
for me.
Brilliant, and Brad's an asshole, and they're like, oh yeah, Brent's on there too.
Well, dude, you're yourself. You're your own nickname.
I'm an acquired taste, I was told this morning.
Wow. You're nondescript.
That doesn't work.
I'm
going to need you to go back to the drawing board. You come back with a nickname, damn it.
Well, let's hear the others. Well, let's forget about him. Okay. What's mine and Dave?
It's a Professor Sexy Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Mexi Brent. Oh, I'm sorry. Mexi Brent. Oh. Mexi Brad. So.
Okay, that's the second Mexican comment I've gotten, actually.
Why is he Mexi Brad?
He sounds Hispanic. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Like,
you know, I've heard people say that, too.
Yeah, no, we got approached by a listener, and he was like, I thought you were Mexican. And I'm
Hispanic,
like,
Hispanic, you know? Nothing is wrong with that. I mean, that's crazy.
So should I highlight the sexiness and professorness every so often?
Yes.
Just like every so often I could say,
your voice is so buttery. It's like
your modifier's dangling.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I've actually.
Yo, bro, that was legit, bro. I'm just saying. I had to pop in here and just say that was legit.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
dude.
You've never seen the full glory of him transforming in person, have you?
You know, that's and I love how you have to put the
hand. Hey, what's up, Brian? Oh, I never met you before, but this is Tyrone, and I just want to say what's up, and I'll buy your board game because I'm all into that fantasy football. I'm into fantasy prostitution too. My shit will be on Kickstarter here in a bit, but we're still working it out with the law enforcement. You know what I mean? The 5-0 don't appreciate what we trying to do up in this bitch, so we'll get it cracking though. But good to meet you. I got to jam out, guys. I'll see y'all later.
All right, man.
You guys should legitimately
start
a GoFundMe for Tyrone to get his own podcast. It'll be on Dickstarter.
I want.
That's incredible, dude.
Well, if you start your fantasy,
you can work for Adult Swim. You can be the black guy voice.
Your fantasy prostitution is going to be Brian.
Only place that needs a black guy voice. Adult Swim.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Brent's just like, fuck. He's sitting over here all solemn.
I just thought of prostitution. Brian prostitution.
You're just sitting there waiting to launch that pun, dude. I can tell.
I don't want to waste it on the calamity, the cacophony of overtalk.
No, are you like putting swoller panels on your
swoller panels?
Dude, the best swole pun I've ever heard was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh, my God.
Okay. So, believe it or not, our topic today is coffee.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so.
We knew we'd get there.
I totally forgot.
Yeah. We clearly had some.
Yeah, yes. we've been caffeinated.
Oh, dude, I'm flying.
Coffee, tea. So, Brian's drunk now.
What do we think? Where do you guys want to start in our coffee discussion? Actually, so I know where to start. I'm cutting myself off. So you mentioned in your lightning intro about baristas that were insulting deaf people.
Yes, that was just a snippet. I read that there were some deaf customers in a Starbucks, and actually the baristas were actually caught mocking them. So that was kind of
firings and lawsuits.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a big thing. It's on the news and stuff like that, probably locally, and which that's pretty messed up. I mean, you know, anytime I mean, the baristas are usually pretty nice. You
right.
know, they try
I like
and,
to say
you know,
all the baristas I know at Dagny's are awesome.
Oh, yeah. baristas
at Dagny's.
You think, except for Leslie.
You think.
Rosie's
Sage.
Cool. Can.
Sage. Cool. I don't know them.
I don't know about Andrew. Andrew Futon.
Some of them don't
that guy
listen
makes
to our
the line
podcast.
Long.
Oh, Futon, yeah.
Some
still
of them
there?
Don't, yeah, some of them don't listen to our podcast.
No, Futon's though, so. Nice.
He always has nice pants.
That's a strange thing.
That is a strange thing. If you're listening and you're not here, across the street from where we record is an amazing coffee shop called Dagny's, manned and womaned by amazing baristas.
Legendary coffee shop.
Are they called baristas over
and
there?
I will give a shout out to Leslie just because so far all that's been said is except for Leslie and no one came in and said anything good.
Yeah, they didn't stand up for her.
I just did.
Good.
But anyway.
You're a better man than Brent.
The reason I was curious about the deaf thing is because there's a Starbucks near my house, and when I have to grade essays, I'll go there in the morning and sit and put in headphones and grade. And usually my back is to the room, and I was in there one day, and my back was to the room, and I'm grading, doing my own thing, just zoned out. I'm not paying, you know, very unwisely, paying no attention to my own environment. And I'm sitting there for like an hour grading. I finally stopped. My back is to the room. I took out my headphones. I packed up all my stuff, and there's no noise. There's just the noise of a couple baristas talking and the espresso machine, but there's nothing at all. There's no one there. I'm the only one there. I pack everything up, And I stand up and turn around, and the place is fucking packed with people. There's like 35 people in there who have arranged all their tables, and it was completely silent because they were all deaf.
Oh, wow.
They were all, it was like the strangest thing. Like, oh, there's no noise in this room. I'm the only person here. And then you turn around, there's 35 people having conversations. It was a really strange. I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of people.
Alternate universe.
Yeah, it was very strange.
It's like a silent jump scare.
Yeah, it was. I was not expecting it.
I thought of the alternate comparison. If you walked into a pitch black restaurant and was filled with blind people just enjoying their food.
Right.
this doesn't affect them at all.
That's even
no
scarier.
Lights in here.
Yeah, that is weird.
They should make that. Should make a blind restaurant.
Yeah. So we talked about wedding cancer or weddings and cancer.
Every restaurant's a blind
cancer
restaurant.
Wedding. Yeah, I believe was the term.
Cancer weddings. Yeah. Well, apparently coffee isn't fond of cancer.
No,
or cancer isn't fond of coffee. One or the other way.
Both. They hate each other.
Yeah. So
cancer has no stock in Starbucks.
Yeah. So. It actually helps. I guess I don't know if it helps prevent it, but it helps keep it away. I guess it lowers your risk if you're a coffee drinker of getting cancer.
Certain cancer. I know colon cancer. You have lower
if you drink it the right way.
Yeah. Or oral, breast, liver, and prostate.
That has to make sense.
What are mentioned?
Second, it touches my mouth. It's like go time.
Well, that's what keeps your prostate happy.
Yeah,
now.
It keeps it healthy. Yeah.
You guys went there.
Apparently that and masturbation, so.
I was.
So, just slam coffee, shit, and jack off, and you're never going to die of cancer.
I was going to wait.
Yes, Brent. Yes.
I was going to wait for this one, but when you look up coffee, especially if you look it up on YouTube, like a ton of results for coffee enemas come up. Did you guys run into that at all?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Enema yourself. You're all,
oh yeah, like
no. I live in Oregon, man. Like that's. I
well, like Borgen.
Borgen. Go Ducks.
No, so what? Like, what if it's too hot?
No,
like,
they let it cool.
The temperature right.
They let it cool. The grounds are in it. It's a huge thing on the internet. There was a My Strange Addiction episode where a wife is so addicted to them, she does it 4 times a day.
Damn.
Yeah, she just.
That's creepy.
She has this pot. It's like a normal Top Ramen style pot that you think you'd boil noodles in. And she just puts coffee grounds and water in there and boils it. And it has an enema attachment on the side of the pot, you know, that she's cooking on her stove, going to go in her butt later. But then she lets it cool, lays in the bathroom floor.
Wait, is this a pot you can buy or is this like some highly modified
weirdo pot?
It's like a real thing, yeah.
Okay.
And so it has a tube on the side. Then she lays down in the bathroom floor on a towel and looks on her iPhone for 15 minutes and waits while it's in there. And then gets on the toilet and lets it out.
Nice Apple plug.
So then they, It's an unofficial thing. Like they talk to me, but I'm not supposed to really directly associate it.
Like, anytime we talk about
enemas. So what are the health?
It's a whole market they were missing.
What are the health benefits of a coffee enema?
I guess apparently you get caffeine like crazy. Like if you did
enema. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's like a euphoric
that's like
experience.
A drug.
Apparently,
yeah,
the funnier part was they interviewed her husband, and her husband was like, "Yeah, like she's been doing this for a while," and I was like, "That's disgusting." He's like, "But she convinced me to try it, and now I do it twice a day."
Now is she attractive?
She was all right looking lady.
Yeah, because this does make
sweet.
A difference.
Yeah, like,
you don't,
the imagery in my head is like,
yeah,
awesome.
This does make a difference. Does she have long legs or like, is it like,
I don't know.
Can she put them behind her head?
They just showed a close up of Vaseline, close up of a pot full of coffee. And then,
why don't you just roll a condom in some coffee grounds and go in, you know? Like,
well, there's a whole like science behind it for years. There's something called the Gerson Institute, and it's a cancer treatment, like a homeopathic cancer treatment. Yeah. And that's a huge part of their thing. Apparently, it excites the colon and like draws things from your liver.
Yeah, would it be the same way like if you did the blood sport, like hand wrap, and then you just take it, instead of glass shards, you just mash your fist into the coffee grounds and just shove it in?
On the second episode where we cuss, I just can't get anything serious across. It won't ever happen. it's just blood fist and jack off.
Whoa. it was anti-prostate cancer information.
Look, yeah, I'm just trying to talk about coffee up your butt. I'm trying to be serious.
If I can't talk about coffee up your butt without someone reading into it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't invite this asshole over here. Okay. So
I went and picked him up. I went out of my way. I went to Chester W. Nimitz. Yeah. Got him. Nobody knows
the
that
Lord
one.
Jesus tried to stop him from getting here, and you still bring him down here.
He
so it's your
oh,
fault.
Yeah. That he mudslide did. Tried yeah. to take me out. And I was like, fuck that. I'm being on the podcast. Yeah.
Fuck you, Jesus.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about coffee.
I'm putting coffee in my butt today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd try it, man. Especially if I was dying from cancer.
Apparently, don't, because then you'll do it twice a day. Like the people that do it are addicted.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. It just turns you gay. Like you just start. It's the gateway to gay sex.
I wonder if you have to have good coffee.
I don't think it matters.
I think
like if you're so big, because I'm a pretty big coffee snob. Like if I was going to do it,
you can taste it through your ass.
Just on principle, I would be like, I'm not using Folgers. Like I can't do it.
Hold on, I got a Dave impression. It's Folgers. He's all. I wouldn't put this in my ass.
Shit. No, I would think because when you're selecting beans for coffee, some have a higher caffeine content, so those could actually.
No, there's going to be the hipster dude that's like, no, I only put fucking Colombian Arabica.
Yeah.
Well, like, exactly.
They probably do prefer like organic, single origin, Ethiopian, small crop, shade grown craziness because the whole point in doing it is to detoxify it, apparently. Yeah. Like they have this stuff called mucoid plaque is what it's called. Mucoid plaque, I think. And I swear to God.
It's my favorite rapper.
Dare you to look that up.
I thought Little Bobo or Almond or whatever. Acorn. Acorn and Little Bobo.
If you look up mucoid plaque on YouTube, you will be sad because some housewife, it has newspaper and coffee filters laid out on her washing machine outstretching jelly poops that are like these things that are apparently supposed to be like the mucoid plaque buildup in her intestines that are toxifying her body. But I think it's just that.
Is she sexy? Like, does she look good?
You see hands and slimy poop. You don't see a face on that one.
Her
voice, though, is there. Yeah.
This episode's retarded.
Her voice is there.
God damn it.
Is her voice sexy? Okay.
Yes. Does her hands?
We're not talking like Donna.
Is she wearing a ring? That's what we need to know.
It's like a Don Dish commercial, but with
the wedding ring doesn't matter. Goatsy had a wedding ring on.
Yeah. So apparently, it's preventative against type 2 diabetes. Also, on another serious note. So coffee is...
Oh, Brad gets to just choose when he gets serious.
I mean, solid only evidence. Serious, well, I'm getting away from your shit fucking logs that you're talking about here. I'm trying to go into diabetes.
I would like to note that I was just telling a story about coffee enemas and you got blood fist with resin glass.
Is that a legitimate way with the blood sport? I mean, have you seen Blood Sport?
Yeah.
I live by that movie.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's my image of getting an enema, just somebody punching it into your ass.
That's the image of my marriage. In the movie. Man, just blood dipping my hands and shit. Sweating.
Wow. Hope your wife's not listening.
Yikes.
I'm never getting married.
Next.
Maybe.
Maybe next. So type 2 diabetes, it actually is a preventative against it. And they have Harvard, what is it, an epidemiologist, Frank Hu, calls the data on coffee and type 2 diabetes pretty solid.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. I'm not sure what the correlation is. I mean, it doesn't affect your blood sugar, so I'm not sure how... Like what effect it has on your metabolism?
I guess it's the antioxidants and the mineral content in the coffee actually helps. It's just like certain types of diets help keep your blood sugar low. You know, all that stuff. I guess it just plays
into
that.
It's an appetite suppressant. It might it might induce you to eat less bad stuff. True. You know.
Yeah, there's magnesium and chromium in particular are thought to help the body make a hormone. Or make use of the hormone insulin. So it actually uses any extra insulin that you put out. I don't know.
It also
on what
speeds
scale.
Up your metabolism.
Yeah.
It opens airways. Yeah. It does all kinds of things. Yeah, it stimulates dopamine, which might put you in a better mood, which decreases stress, which could have effect on your blood sugar. It's probably just all kinds of things. Yeah.
Strangely. And unlike every time I read a report about the health benefits of coffee, unlike when you read a report about the health benefits of like wine or beer or whiskey or whatever, like all of the booze things are like, if you drink a single 6 ounce glass of red wine once a day, you get health
it's
benefits.
Healthy, yeah.
And then everyone I know who's a wino is like, well, I'm going to drink a box of it tonight and then it'll be extra healthy. And it's like, no, that's
work
not
that
how
way.
It fucking works.
That's addiction.
But all the stuff I read about with coffee is it's like, no, if you drink 2 or 3 cups, like it actually increases the health benefit. And
there's a guy that drinks 50 cups a day that I saw
on
there. But this is the thing. It doesn't actually affect you adversely other than the coffee addiction aspect that if you stop.
You'll get headaches.
But it just, there's some like andazine, I think it's called.
Alzheimer's disease?
No, it's something called andazine. There's these receptors in your brain. And when, throughout the day, they're what make you tired so that you'll finally get sleepy and go to bed and rest. Mm-hmm. But coffee binds to that same receptor.
Does that affect your melatonin then?
That I'm not sure.
But that has to coincide with that function.
Well, the problem is when you drink tons of coffee, like 50 cups a day, your androgen, I might be saying that wrong, receptors increase. So then you have a tolerance and you have to drink more coffee to get the same result.
So is that what caffeine in general does? Or does coffee specifically do that on top of the caffeine benefit?
It's what gives you the wakefulness is because it binds to the androgen receptors and doesn't allow the androgen to bind to it and make you tired. So it can't bind. But the more you drink, the more androgen receptors you develop. So when you stop drinking coffee, now you need it. It's not, now when you get up in the morning, like, dang, I need coffee.
Well, that's what creates that.
Yeah, but the whole like, get up and go, it's because it stimulates the adrenal gland. So that's
I will say when like I used to drink a lot more coffee and I had to, like I felt like if I really wanted to get an effect of coffee and wake up, I had to drink several cups of coffee and I really backed off, especially in the summer in Bakersfield. I'll drink a cup of coffee a day because it's hot as balls and I don't want anything.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to do it
like
early
in the
morning.
Winter, as soon as it gets nice out, as soon as it gets cold out, I'll drink a little bit more. But when I'm only drinking like anymore, I just don't drink that much. I'll usually drink most of a cup of coffee in the morning and then I drink one cup in the afternoon. If like in my college days, that would have done nothing. So I guess like the more you drink it, the more you have to drink it. And the less I drink it, the more impact it has whenever I do drink it.
Do you guys still consider it like it's weird? I don't know if this is just me, but like even if you get iced coffee, you still consider it a hot drink in your mind? You're like, to me, what I mean like is like if it's cold and I think, or it's hotter and shit outside and I want to go get a drink and it's like iced coffee, I'm like, oh, but it's hot. Even though it's iced, and my brain is like,
I can't
switch back and forth.
Yeah, I can't drink iced coffee. Like, it's got to be hot.
Yeah.
I mean, if I want a coffee, it's hot. Like, there is no ice.
But is that like a flavor profile? Like,
I think it might be. Because the thing is, I don't drink. I drink black. I take my coffee like I take my man, strong and black.
Mm. Yes.
I don't put anything. I drink unadulterated strong black coffee. That's what I drink. And in the summer when it's hot, I'll get 4 shots over ice, no water.
Adulterated.
And then I'll have them add more ice at the end because it'll melt. I can't even drink an iced Americano. It gets all wussy tasting. I don't like it. It needs to be really, really strong if I'm going to drink it iced.
And black.
And that's it. That's the only way I've always, I mean, since I was young, that's the only way I've ever consumed my coffee.
I describe it as it's hard. Tree bark and diesel. Like when you don't have some half and half and 4 shots over ice, it is tree bark and diesel.
I love Brent's descriptions.
Not if it's good.
Well, they're bullshit is what they are.
No, but I mean, like he nails things in a weird like.
Yeah.
You should work for a company.
It's underwear and hot sauce. That's all it is. That's all I'm saying.
It's like a burnt ping pong ball and coconut shavings.
Yeah.
Like what? That's perfect.
Very earthy tones. Earthy tones. Yeah.
I read a really cool fact that in the 1600s that coffee was actually responsible for a period of history called the Enlightenment.
Yes.
And it's because during that time they drank more alcohol than they drank water. Like they drank beer and gin and water. So the mass of society was drinking a depressant. And when coffee and tea were introduced, they had a stimulant. So all of a sudden everybody was like getting shit done and thinking about stuff and ambitious. And so it gave way to like an intellectual boom during that period, which is kind
of
cool.
That was even part of what helped found America, the founding fathers, all these coffee houses and all the wealthier people and the philosophers and the educators would get together in one place to drink, which is kind of still the point of a good coffee shop, a good coffee house, as far as I'm concerned, is there's an intellectual aspect to what's happening. You're drinking coffee, you're philosophizing, you're talking about politics and life.
Philosophizing.
And whatever. I mean, it's like that to me, that's what it's all about. And it did play a big role. I also learned about coffee that originally, I mean, everybody associates England with tea, and that's only because they were a big coffee nation, but there was a coffee blight that wiped out all their sources of coffee. So where their trade routes were, they just couldn't get coffee anymore. So all they had left was tea coming from India. So they had to start drinking tea because all their coffee died, and then they just never went back to being a primarily coffee nation.
And on the opposite, I heard that Americans don't drink tea the way that English do, even though that's our ancestry, because it was considered like a...
That ain't my ancestry.
It was like a patriotism thing.
I'm from Mexico.
Like they do that. Like we don't like don't drink tea.
Oh,
like
that's
them.
Yeah. I've never thought about that.
Me and the La Raza. We don't. We're not from the
Brad,
England.
I barely just heard you say that.
You barely just heard me right now. I just said it. Right
I can barely
now.
Hear you.
We just went from informative to the generalization.
Yeah, we do. That's
so
we do.
Here's I love one. Your food. Here's one for you guys. Drinking coffee can make you hallucinate. Have you heard that one?
No.
You can. So it says they did a study in 2009 that found people who consumed at least 315 milligrams of coffee were more likely to hallucinate than conservative coffee drinkers or people who drink none. Seeing things, hearing voices, sensing the presence of ghosts were among the experiences reported on the test participants tallied. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Seeing ghosts.
Well, yeah, you have like super hyperactivity and like dopamine release. It's probably going to cause some kind of weird thing.
Yeah, and I guess per person it's different. Like some people can handle caffeine and I can
I read that you can't die from drinking coffee. It's like almost impossible. You have to drink like so much that you would your body will pee it out. Like the stomach capacity can't hold it all. And the only way that you actually people do die from caffeine overdose, but it's from diet pills, the straight raw caffeine. Some people buy caffeine and take it. Yeah,
it will kill you.
Well, it's an underlying energy drinks, condition.
Yeah, artificially made things like that. But coffee itself is a diuretic, so it'll cause you to pee it out. Your body will process it.
That's why you go to the bathroom and all that stuff. Yeah.
But did you guys see that coffee? This kind of ties into our last podcast. Coffee is a it creates its own pesticide. And it's considered caffeine is a pesticide by nature, and that the reason it evolved in coffee plants was to kill insects. If insects eat it, it's actually poison. Like it is fatal. It's fatal to us too. But in the dose that it arrives in the plant, it's fatal at a dose of like to a body mass of 1 gram, not a body mass of 150 to 200 pounds.
Yeah.
So it actually is fatal, but we take it in those small doses and we just get like the side effect of your heart racing and you feeling jittery. But the insects, their hearts just explode. Like they're just like, you know, it's a screaming death.
Wasn't it originally discovered because animals were acting erratic that were eating
it? Was
it
was an Ethiopian goat farmer.
The goat went crazy.
They're like, dude, that goat is on one.
It was the chupacabra.
His goats were restless in the night, and they couldn't figure out why his goats wouldn't calm down. And then during the day, he had noticed the goats were eating a red berry off of a plant. And so then he was like, what's in this? It must be this. They're eating that, and that's the only time that happens. So he ate one, and then it was like, that's it. Coffee's born. He was tweaking.
Thank you, goats.
Took off.
Thank you, goats.
He herded the shit out of some goats, and then
oh my god, it makes sense. Sorry, no, there's a coffee shop in Eugene called Wandering Goat, and they're just getting a plug for free.
Yeah.
And I never wondered why. And I'm like, wait a second,
that's where coffee came from.
That ties.
That's it. Have you guys tried the cat poop coffee?
I've heard something
probably indirectly.
Well, and did we?
It's in Brazil.
Well, no, they sell.
Yeah, well, no, Brazil, Brazilians, the reason that Brazilians are so aggressive was because they eat something in cat poop.
It's not that like, they eat it, it's that they're exposed to it because there's so many stray cats.
Whatever it is,
toxoplasmosis.
That's why they're toxoplasmosis, good MMA fighters.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons they were discussing that, and they have that toxoplasmosis is so in their system
the cat poop
higher. Yeah, higher than anybody else, but now they're drinking the coffee, so it's real.
Well, there's some jungle cat. It's not like a traditional house cat, and it eats...
Aww.
It eats the coffee berries and they don't digest,
right.
And the cat poops the berries out, right?
That's the same thing with the monkey.
So they collect the poop from the cats that have pooped out the berries. They dig the berries out and then dry them and process them like regular coffee.
That has to be like $400
a pound. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's the most expensive coffee on earth. And
we got to find out that price.
I had it.
You had it.
I had it, and I have to admit, it was actually because I've had Jamaica Blue Mountain. Like every time I've had some super expensive
coffee, that sounds
like
a strain of pot.
I've never Jamaica Blue Mountain. Yeah. It does. Every time I've had like some super expensive coffee, I'm not that happy about it. But when I try, and my friend, he makes a decent amount of money, and he bought some and brought it to a Dungeons and Dragons game, and we roasted it up, and we brewed it up and drank it, and it was actually. And a lot of people in the room refuse to drink it.
That sounded like the most hipstery, prestigious, nerdy thing that ever went down.
They refused to drink the cat poop coffee because they were afraid of the cat poop factor. And I assured them it's been dried, roasted until it's black, ground, boiled in hot water. There's nothing
left. Now, my question to you is, did you want to try that coffee because of that marketing? Or... if you didn't know that a cat shit it out, would you have been so interested in it? Like, I mean, a serious question. Like,
and it doesn't sound vegan at all.
It's not vegan. It's okay. Not vegan.
Oh, well, yeah, it went through a cat's asshole. That's the opposite of vegan.
That's the opposite.
I mean, it's in a dictionary.
He's vegan.
I mean,
the cat
didn't produce it itself, but it still went through it. But no, that was the
only
reason. That was the only reason I wanted to try it is because supposedly the enzymes, the digestion process. Chemically alters the bean and makes the bean
now
different.
Do the cats absorb any of the caffeine?
Probably. That's probably why they eat
holy
it.
Holy shit. So jaguars
tripping
on
balls.
Yeah. Jaguars,
jaguars
caffeine.
On caffeine. So that's the same thing with the Kopi Luwak, which is the civet coffee, which aren't civets like the type of monkey, a certain type of monkey?
I'm not sure.
They do the same thing. They eat the berries and then they go and they process the berries and make coffee. And that's expensive too. That stuff's like hundreds of dollars.
Oh, they are hundreds of dollars.
Coffee is expensive. Like it's actually the second most valued commodity export in the world, second to only oil.
That makes sense.
Which is crazy, right? And it's because we're all addicted. Like it's funny. We're all on drugs and we're all okay with it because it's like the whole like, oh,
dude,
peer thing. It's like you do it too. We do it. You do it. Yeah. We all do it.
Maybe it's socially acceptable.
Yeah. Maybe we're talking about the same thing as civet. It kind of looks like a cat.
Monkey cat.
What it is.
Why don't they just genetically produce a shit ton of those and just have them harvest?
A literal shit ton.
Yeah, a literal shit ton.
The coffee, I mean, talking about how much money coffee is worth, from what I saw in, and this talks about how much coffee has increased, is in 1993, the U.S. imported $30 billion in coffee. And in 2013, it imported $70 billion worth of coffee because of the Starbucks factor, because of the explosion of all things coffee. And the fact of the matter is, I know Starbucks is everybody's number one. And by the way, just because everybody in the world shits on poor people, farmers in 1993 made 40% of the profit of the coffee bean. And in 2013, they made only 10% of the profit.
But it's exponential, though. You're looking at there's still billions of dollars, though, right?
Yeah, but the farmers, like that farmer, work. I mean, yeah, I'm Joe Farmer. I only grow this. I'm growing exactly as much in 2013 as I did in 93.
And you're getting less.
I'm only getting 10%. And now, you know, so.
Or you're growing more and getting the same amount.
Are you going to hire some caffeinated jaguars?
It's the most unstable commodity, too, though. Yeah. Like when you look like historically from like the 40s on to now, the chart's all over the place. And it's because of like weather. It only grows in that belt or whatever.
The coffee belt.
And so it has to have very specific conditions like volcanic soil, 70 to 80 degrees.
So
it
it's birthed pretentious? Like,
exactly.
It coincides?
It does.
And you can't store it.
I mean, you pretty much grow it in certain areas in Central America. It grows in Hawaii.
Africa.
It grows in Jamaica and in the
Asia,
Caribbean. And it grows in Asia, Sumatra, all that. Like, those are the areas. Like, you're not growing it in California.
Central South America.
Yeah,
no, they grow coffee. They grow coffee in California.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. There's
places you can go and take tours of the coffee plants and all that stuff.
There's a coffee plant in Dagny's. Yeah. I don't know how successfully they do it. What I read was that Hawaii was the only place, the only state, you know, the only U.S., you know, location that you could grow coffee. I don't know. I'd have to look at
it. They have the most ideal climate, I think, in the United States for coffee.
Well, I think, I mean, you could probably find microclimates all over. I mean, I'm sure there's some specific place in California or in wherever where you can really thoroughly grow coffee without having to fuck with it a lot.
You know what?
But if you just want to plant some beans and let it take off, you've got to be in, you're probably got to be in Hawaii or something.
Mike, forgot. No. I was trying to think.
The crazy thing. Oh, go for it.
I was going to say, one really underappreciated fact is that Australia has a giant coffee movement. Like, I was in Australia.
I took a giant coffee movement right before.
a caffeinated jaguar shit.
Yeah.
No, they have a huge, like, underrated wine and coffee, like, industry there.
But they're growing. On the map, I saw zero in Australia and wondered why. That shows no coffee.
Well, Northern Australia is actually fairly tropical, dude.
I know, but
it's like, closer to Fiji.
Just from the research we did, I was like, Australia?
I got there, dude, and I had their coffee, and it was some of the best coffee I ever had in my life.
It's grown there, though?
It's apparently.
Because the percentage of representation,
things can change.
Well, think about wine. Yeah. You think Australia vineyards? No, like mass desert,
right?
Yeah,
but I mean,
no.
If it's something that's just starting, it's going to be a blip. It's not. It's going to be so small.
No, it's a big deal there. I'm surprised that we don't know about it because it's all. And people, when I was going there, people were like, "Oh, you got to try their coffee. It's amazing." I'm like, "What?
Yeah,
is it poisonous?
Did you bring any back for us? No, the fuck up.
Thank you.
I brought back a racist candy." They have racist candy. It's hilarious.
What was it?
They have like seriously like big black-faced like 1940s Looney Tunes depiction of a black person as mascots on their candy bags. It's
weird.
Oh, wow.
Look it up. It's crazy.
I will have to look
it up. I brought it back. So funny story real quick. I brought nothing back except all that. And I'm going through customs, and the customs agent is black. And he's
like, and no, he dude, just goes, seriously,
he's like, did you bring anything back from Australia? And I'm like, just this collection of hyper-racist candy.
Yeah. Hyper racist candy. Here you go, Blackster. Yeah. Well, that's funny because we go to a place down south. It's like a collectibles place, and there's like it's a huge Asian community down there, and they have a cookie called Negroes, and they're a chocolate covered cookie, and they are delicious. But they're called Negroes, and
I have to find some of these.
Yes, no, they are very good. I don't know if they're vegan or not, but they're very tasty. Not.
Especially
but,
if there's chocolate.
Oh yeah, you're vegan.
Milk in it. Yeah.
Yeah, so
we love Oregon,
but yeah, they were very funny. We have a picture of our black friend holding up the package of Negroes, that like eating one. You know, it's pretty funny.
In Australia, it's like literal.
Yeah,
like they used it to market just the racism. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're nuts. So let's get into. We have anything on the child labor, coffee child labor?
Dave's gonna talk about fair trade.
The thing. I mean. There's been a big push lately. I mean, the fair trade movement, I mean, part of it deals with the fact that I said that farmers are making 10% for what they're growing, and they tend to be treated very unfairly. Like we said, the market on coffee is so volatile that they might grow a ton of coffee one year and make no money whatsoever, and they have no safeguards. They have no assurances. In general, there's no schooling. There's nothing to do except farm coffee in the regions, you know, specifically like the area I was looking at was Costa Rica, but it's going to be the same in Ethiopia,
yeah, Brazil, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
So what tends to happen is the parents, even though they want their kids to go to school and have a better life, there are no schools anywhere nearby. So they end up having their kids have to work on the farm. They end up doing the same thing that used to be done.
Or they owe a debt and that's how they pay it off.
Yeah, that's a big part of it as well. The thing is, like, when we look at coffee, I mean, even if we look at Starbucks, like Starbucks, everybody thinks it's like the giant of coffee. Folgers is much larger. Folgers owns almost 22% of the coffee market in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Maxwell House controls about 15% of the market. And then Starbucks only controls just under 10% of the market as far as how much coffee is bought and sold in the U.S.
Yeah.
And, of course, Folgers and Maxwell House don't have stores that you drive up to, but they push so much cheap coffee. Dude. So Starbucks, and a lot of people give Starbucks flack because usually – they're in a range of about 10% of their coffee is fair trade, organic, et cetera. And people think it needs to be a higher percentage. And I agree it should be a higher percentage. But meanwhile, the percentage of Folgers is zero. Like they don't give a shit at all. So all, you know, most of the people that toil and work. So, I mean,
well, you have to understand that fair trade organic coffee is expensive. You're already paying $5.75 for a venti at Starbucks.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Folgers, to keep it as cheap as possible, to keep the old people buying it, what do they got to do?
The cheapest coffee
they could find.
Because, I mean, you can buy a tub of Folgers for $10.
Yeah.
Or you can buy a pound of, you know, decent coffee that isn't even organic or fair trade for usually about $12-ish, I would say,
$13,
right now. Yeah. And if you wanted to get organic or fair trade, you're probably going to pay $15 to $18.
And more. There's $50 bags of coffee, you know.
It just depends on that process.
I watched a video about fair trade, and the more interesting fact is fair trade is not the best coffee for sure. Certainly not for connoisseurs.
No.
And people have that mentality. And the problem that happens in small, like independent coffee shops, that they might be, you know, fair trade minded and they want to do that. There's like hidden stuff with fair trade where it's a good facade for how things should work. But as far as like quality of coffee, the ones that are good get classified and judged as like exotic or gourmet and they get sold, but they're not going to be fair trade.
Some of the best coffees I'm sure are slave coffees. You know what I mean? All the
good coffees get classified as gourmet and exotic and they don't meet those demands. And so if you want good coffee, it's generally like the best coffee is not fair trade generally. Fair trade just means that it went by these rules.
And what happens with fair trade for typically most fair trade places, you have to get certified fair trade, which means that the farmers themselves have to pay a surcharge in order to get certified fair trade per pound, right? So they have to actually pay in order to do this. But in general, the uptick tends to be I'm paying the fee to be fair trade to join a fair – it's usually a collective or a co-op. So what happens is I'm just a farmer in Colombia, right? This is my patch of land that I farm. Here's me and my family. This is how much we can handle. And I have no rights. No one gives a shit about me. The guy buying my coffee doesn't care whether I live or die. But all of a sudden, if I get certified as fair trade and I'm part of a fair trade co-op of me and 100 other farmers in the same region, now the guy buying coffee has to give a shit because 100 of his 200 farmers have banded together and they insist on schools and clean water and all this stuff.
It's a union.
So yeah, exactly. So whenever you see like a co-op, which is what most of the people who end up doing fair trade is. Co-op so now farms, these 100 farmers are banded together, insisting on certain rights, insisting on certain pay, et cetera. And the thing is, I looked into this a little while ago. I read a book called Where Am I Eating? And the author Timmerman ends up getting curious and he goes around and looks at all these different food crops and he travels to where they come from and he picks them and farms them and works, you know, et cetera. He came here to town. I actually had lunch with him. That's me bragging as a nerd. But he went specifically to Colombia and he was curious because on all the Starbucks websites, Starbucks talks about what they call cafe practices, and cafe means the Coffee and Farmer Equity Program, and it stands for CAFE. How cute. Nice. But their point is they went into Colombia, and the idea was they were going to build schools. They were going to build better ways to clean and dry the coffee, all this stuff. And on their website, they claim that in Colombia, there are 22,000 farmers that are part of the CAFE program. They're improving their lives, et cetera. But then Timmerman got down there and brought the bag of coffee down with him that made him want to go on this journey, and started going around to all the farmers, and he was showing them the Starbucks, and they had never seen the logo. They had never heard of Starbucks. They had never heard of the cafe program. He traveled to multiple cities. He finally went to one city and showed it to somebody on the street, and they were like, oh, yeah, no, I've seen that. And they took him to this giant empty-ass building with a little metal plaque that just said a cafe partner and had the Starbucks logo, and it was just a big-ass empty building, and they don't really know who built it or why it was built.
Wow.
So Starbucks did all these initiatives, you know, to try to make things better. But in the reality, they didn't do anything, right? So that's the talk shit side about Starbucks. But the positive side, you know, I've read a lot of other stuff of positive things they have done. And the good thing is they sort of built this infrastructure. And part of the infrastructure, like, because they did that, they built all these ineffective things that didn't do anything. It made all the farmers start to realize, wait a minute, there's another way we could do this. And then it made all these other people start to band together. So now all these fair trade co-ops took over because Starbucks started it but fucked up.
Well, they used their pop culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They laid the ground road, connected people together, et cetera, so that other fair trade co-ops. So when you see trade, basically what you're doing is you're seeing farmers that get paid a fair guaranteed wage for their coffee, so they're not just making
the minimum wage,
you know, 10% of the coffee. They're making a higher percentage. And the other thing is
they're kind of like subsidizing a commodity.
Pretty much what it is. And usually a part of fair trade, even though it's technically a separate thing, usually a part of fair trade is what you'll hear a lot about, which is the sustainable farming, because the idea is fair trade co-ops are training farmers to be better farmers, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't until recently, I didn't realize what the thing was about, because you always also hear about shade grown coffee, like that's a big deal, and I had no idea what that meant, and I didn't really care about it.
The farmers get shade.
Well, no, it's not. That is a part of it, but the fact of the matter is, and this is part of the sustainability thing, the shade, like coffee naturally grows in shade, right? But big farm productions started to realize we might be able to get a slightly higher yield if we just clear cut the forest, plant the coffee trees alone, so there's no canopy above them. They're going to get more sun, they're going to grow better fruit, which it marginally does.
Yeah.
But the downside is they've discovered that all the natural, basically the birds that live in the canopies eat all the pests that are a threat to the coffee beans naturally. So as soon as you clear the canopy, now you're exposing the workers to the hot sun.
Yeah.
You're getting rid of the biodiversity that helps to protect the beans in the first place. Now you have to use pesticides.
Yeah.
Now you've got children workers walking around in horrible pesticides. So shade-grown coffee means they're replanting the canopies. It's better for the workers. There's no soil erosion. There's better biodiversity. It's not clear-cutting the rainforest. So, I mean, the more I read about coffee, the harder it is for me to buy coffee, because the more I learn about it, I'm like, if I'm standing at Target and I want to buy a pound of coffee, I'm like, well, I can buy that coffee that I know is delicious, but I kind of want to buy something that says fair trade certified, and I kind of want to find something that says shade grown. Yeah. And if it says it's part of the Rainforest Alliance, the Rainforest Alliance is fair trade and it is shade grown. So if you see that little,
you have to do all of this research to understand what you're doing. I mean, that's what's crazy. It's the same thing with cocoa. Like, people don't realize there's so many foods that are probably the same way as coffee, where they have little slave children going and picking
cocoa's
in these.
Worse
yeah,
than
cocoa's
coffee.
Probably
cocoa's
worse.
Cocoa's way worse than
but
coffee.
I was going to ask you, did you guys see the thing about dumb Starbucks?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, they tried to change it just slightly.
No,
like,
no. Under the fair use trademark thing, like, if they were making fun of Starbucks, they can actually use all of the logos, the name, everything, and copy them. Yeah, and it's satire.
Yeah.
But they Nathan Fielder, who was a what was he, Saturday Night Live? Or he was a Comedy Central comedian, and he had his own show, Nathan For You, and he actually opened up a dumb Starbucks that had everything was exactly the same. It just had dumb in front of it.
But they sued him and won.
They did sue him, yeah. But no, he opened up the store. There was people lined up and said they want the dumb grande, you know, mocha.
Didn't even faze them.
And you know, that went on with their day.
I went to I went to Seattle, and I was like walking around Pike Place, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man, what? There's something going on over there. I thought it was like an event or like a celebrity. There's just tons of people, right? Just everywhere. Can't even
Starbucks.
Walk. Yeah, no, it's the original Starbucks.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I walk up, and it's literally this tiny little store with the old school logo on it. And it's the first Starbucks they ever opened, and there's a line going around the block to go.
Which
in.
Like didn't even thing. Sell coffee, by the way. The first, first Starbucks was a coffee importer that sold whole beans.
Right? No, the funniest part about this, shit, you not half block down another Starbucks, completely empty.
Yeah, you just go to that one.
Completely empty.
And that's the thing. Who fucking cares? That's like going to the first Apple store. Like,
oh,
who
dude,
cares?
People would do that.
They all have the same shit.
Right?
People care. It's,
It goes to show that. That Starbucks is their marketing, their pop culture-ness is
50% brilliant.
Of their money, you know?
Dave brought up that, and that's just insane, like the story of Starbucks. They didn't sell, they just sold like whole beans and intended on you to go home and grind it. Mm-hmm. And a guy who made these thermoses with like a drip thing in the top, he was actually like a plastics manufacturer, and he made some type of thermos that had a drip mechanism in the top, and he couldn't figure out why so many people were buying it all of a sudden. And so he looked into it, and it was because of Starbucks, of this place. So he went and approached them, and he joined the team. They sent him to Italy to learn more about coffee, and he saw all the culture of coffee because that was before we had this. Because Starbucks started in like the 60s or something, didn't it?
70s.
Yeah, it's been around a while.
It's way back.
1700s?
No.
It was either 1971 or 1971.
So almost 60s. I didn't realize that. So that guy goes and approaches them, joins the company. They hire him on, send him to Italy. He comes back with this idea, and he's like, no, you should have seen it. Like, he's like, it's awesome. Like, the baristas are talking to the people and pulling a shot of espresso, and it's this whole atmosphere and environment. And they like barely let him have a little espresso bar in the corner.
Right.
And then it just didn't do that good at first or something. But then it slowly became what it is. But that was not their business model, nor did they want anything to do with that.
Their business model was their original concept was all coffee in America sucks.
Right.
We just want to get good coffee so you don't have to buy shit-ass Folgers. And that was all they did. They didn't brew it. They just bought beans, brought it in. And if you lived in Seattle, you could buy good coffee beans.
And that's what a lot of coffee, like, connoisseur people do. Like, that's what I want to do is get good coffee and sell it.
Right.
You sell it as a whole bean because it's better if you brew it yourself.
Yeah. Same thing with the craft beer movement, dude.
Yeah. Craft beer, same way.
Yep. Crazies out there. For the first time, 10% of their market share to craft beer handles.
Wow. Oof.
So, and they're aggressively trying to buy up dispensaries. They're aggressively trying to buy up distribution.
Dispensaries.
Distribution, beer distribution companies in Oregon. And they're buying up. I worked for a while, one that got purchased by Budweiser, and I quit because of that. And then what they're doing is they're buying up all the things and just making it Anheuser-Busch.
Oh, wow.
Like the
so that's like,
brews.
I'm surprised Folgers isn't like trying to pull that move because it's very similar, like Starbucks to Folgers, Starbucks being like craft beer and Folgers being Anheuser-Busch.
What would happen if Folgers or Maxwell House bought Starbucks? Like what would that do? Like you think people would...
They would sell shittier coffee for the same exact amount of money.
You think people would notice? Would
but you said they have like, what, 80% market share? Folgers?
No,
Folgers
it's
20.
Had 20. Oh, Jesus. What 23? Am I looking at?
Yeah, they had 22 or 23, and then Starbucks had like 14, and the Starbucks had 10. Just under 10.
Yeah, so that's okay.
So that's pretty competitive.
That's huge. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're double of what Starbucks is, and you have a Starbucks on every corner.
Right.
And the other thing that's crazy about Starbucks is, I mean, I know people buy Starbucks at the grocery store and take it home and brew it, but I would imagine the bulk of their sales are going through their stores. I mean, most people. I know a lot of people that drink Starbucks every single day through Starbucks, but they don't.
I worked.
I mean,
Starbucks.
I do. I mean, I drink. I must admit, there's a Starbucks 150 yards, maybe 200 yards from my house.
Yeah,
maybe 200 yards. And when I'm on my way to work, which is 5 minutes away, I tend to stop at Starbucks.
It's convenient.
It's so convenient.
It's high quality convenience, and that's a perfect.
So that's
recipe.
Yeah, and let's talk about the asshole customers that are there.
Oh.
I worked there, man.
That's where, I've had so many experiences where you go to get in line at the drive-thru, and normally it's a long line. They're pretty fast. You know, it depends on what time of day you go. But you're waiting in line at the drive-thru. You're trying to leave a space open so people can drive through. And some fucking asshole or a bitch doing her makeup cuts in front of you and just crowds in the drive-thru line. I'm talking about.
I really have not been a Starbucks
our first world
guy.
Life is so rough.
They cut in front of me.
Cutting in front of me. Trying to get my chocolate pumpkin.
Yeah, but
macchiato.
Check this out though. When you're tired and in the morning, and you're me and you hate mornings, like, and you cut in front of me when I'm trying to get a fucking coffee, you now have a problem.
I like to point out, I've been tired in the morning, but I've never been you.
That's true.
Yes. Okay. Most people haven't.
I've got to tell you something while we're on the topic. I have the absolute greatest. What's my third favorite story of all time? And it's about a shitty Starbucks customer and what happened. And this is hilarious. So
it better be funny, motherfucker.
It's great.
Yeah, that's a real. That's a bold.
You're
putting it up.
I want to hear.
I can't say names because I can say names. Mason Montoya. But so working at Starbucks, right? Barista's super rush hour morning, you know, thing. There's this lady, super pretentious, always comes in very, very rude, very like, ugh, you better have my fucking 60,000 ingredients and certain temperatures, and it needs to be served in like an oak jar. And so they know her because she comes every morning. She's very stern. She's one of those people that if one fucking thing is wrong, you're going to hear.
You're getting
it. Imagine Cruella de Vil. Pretty much, yeah. Okay. She had this old, long tuna boat car, and she orders this thing. And it's actually, strangely enough, she always ordered this Frappuccino. That way it was really strict, soy, this and that. So we're making it real quick, right? And she comes through, and she totally gets it, and drives back in, starts yelling, you know, like, oh, my God, you guys, how are you going to fuck this up? I come here every day, blah, 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 blah. I request a new one because some one little, like, minute little finite fucking thing was, that's the wrong word, finite. But anyways, it's something was changed. So she comes through, she's screaming, and then Mason is, like, making it real quick, and he's in the between. When you work at Starbucks, you work, like, there's three different people. Window, guy in the middle who hands the drinks from the make line, like that.
Right.
So it's a weird position. But that was when Mason was working, and he grabs it real quick, and he turns around. She pulls up. He's pissed off as fuck, and he slips out of his hand, and he immediately, like, thinking, what I do this too. When you drop something, you try to catch it with your foot.
Right.
He drops it, and
he
punts it full fucking speed. It spins, hits her right in the face.
Oh my God.
Explodes across her windshield like a Kennedy assassination of fucking Frappuccino. And I'm thinking, and he just goes, oh my fucking God. And everybody in the Starbucks just stops moving, and they're just like wide eyed. And we're thinking, like, her perspective must be fucking comedic.
Right. Cause
she just comes through. She's like, you guys fucked up. I want a new one. Rolls her windows down. Fucking, here's your Frappuccino, bitch. Just slamming her in the face. They had to pay for, she was threatening to sue. They had to pay for her dry cleaning to get her car cleaned and detailed so that she wouldn't sue.
Oh my.
And they were like, no, we're sorry. We just slipped. And she goes, until you fucking throw it in my face.
Did he get fired?
No.
Oh, nice. Wow.
He had to go out and apologize. Can you imagine that?
Brian, I have to say, the story wasn't as funny as the Kennedy assassination Frappuccino on the window. Jesus Christ. Oh man. I'm making show bumpers, and that's definitely going into it. So awesome.
Sorry to take up so much of that time.
No, that's fine. We don't have a time limit.
Well worth it.
Now we're talking about shitty Starbucks customers. So if you're a shitty Starbucks customer, don't be in front of me in the morning because I will turn my brights on at you.
That's what I do.
What kind of morning are you talking about? You're turning the brights on. It's fucking 3 a.m.
I get up early, fool.
Dang. That's not even morning. That's like late night.
Some people don't get to go to work at nine.
I do have weird Starbucks facts. The big one that stuck out for me, for one, there's 87,000 possible drinks you can order with all the ingredients that they have.
Oh, my God.
That's insane. They sell 2.3 billion cups of coffee per year. And the Trenta is actually larger than the human stomach can actually hold in volume.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pee before you can finish that.
they fill it up with ice, though.
But how do people fucking eat like hot dog competitions in?
That's the exception.
Those are professionals, Brian. Those are professionals.
Hot dog is the exception.
Yeah. They use 90 million gallons of milk per year. It's enough to fill 150 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
Wow.
They're the number two dairy purchaser in the nation under Walmart.
I did not know that. Wow. Under Walmart. That's weird. I didn't think about that. But the biggest thing I think is people don't realize the caloric content, like nutritionally speaking. When you go to Starbucks, they're like, oh, I'm going to get coffee and a snack. And David addressed it before about the white mocha, whatever the hell that thing was.
Right.
The milkshake.
One of their items is called a cinnamon chip scone. And the picture of it looks pretty innocent. But it has 40 more calories than a McDonald's double cheeseburger.
Oh, wow. Oof,
which people don't think about that. I'm going to get a scone and a coffee. And so if you get a cinnamon chip scone and a large coffee or whatever with whatever they put in it.
Like a white mocha or something. It's a thousand calories.
That's like 91% of your...
Oof.
1,000 calories. No, average diet, I think, is 2,000 to 3,000 calories. That's like your Goonies
The other thing, though, too, not only the calories, it's all sugar.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean.
Terrible. It's just fat and sugar.
I mean,
fat, sugar, and carbs.
There's nothing horrible.
It's horrible.
Oof. And actually, I mean, honestly, they have the white chocolate mocha that I would get almost every day. Well, not every day, but I would go there a lot and get it. And I mean, you're hitting 500 calories right off the bat.
It's not even a coffee. That's the thing. Construction days are rolling through there.
I would get a coffee because I get extra shots in it, but it already had like 3 or 4 shots, and then you add shots to it, like. You're getting a super dose of espresso. You like that word?
No, I don't like that word.
You're getting a super dose of espresso. So
I watched the whole coffee documentary on YouTube last night, and the guy said espresso every time. And I was like, how are you the guy doing this coffee talk right now?
No, but that's the thing. You have to add like 2 shots to something that already has 3 shots in it to make it taste like coffee. Yeah, the calories, right? No, the shots aren't. It's the flavoring that they put in it, the milk and the pumpkin apricot. All the bullshit they put in it.
Right.
The pumpkin apricot. Did you say that on purpose?
No.
The pumpkin apricot is a conspiracy theory of Starbucks.
Of course you know this.
Yeah.
like he lit up like a kid.
Did you say that on purpose?
I thought I did something wrong. I just said like pumpkin apricot and Brent just looks at me like.
No, and he fucking pointed his pin at you like you're fucking in trouble.
So break it down. What is the.
I got to know.
What's the pumpkin apricot?
I mean, I don't know. It's not that interesting, but for whatever reason, that is one of the conspiracy things about Starbucks is they won't disclose what's in the pumpkin. It's actually not the pumpkin apricot. It's the pumpkin spiced latte.
Right.
They will not release the ingredients. They said that they don't have the ability to release ingredients in that detail because it's made out of a concentrate mix.
Yeah.
But somebody went and stole what they would be like the 64-ounce containers that they use to like inject the stuff that's the pumpkin something flavoring.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like level 5 carcinogens in it because of like they use like caramel color level 5, like is what they call it. Level 4, level 5.
So this is a new headline. Well, from August of this year, Starbucks pumpkin spice latte now has pumpkin after shaming by the food babe. Whoever the fuck the food babe is.
I love the food babe.
But People are crazy, apparently they were shamed by the food babe to put pumpkin in their pumpkin spice latte. So that was part of the conspiracy. It did not have
the
pumpkin.
Food babe. That must be a blog.
No, she's
maybe. Be a powerful
she's
blogger.
Married, she's married to the beverage bro. So they're a power couple, dude, in the food industry.
Did you just barely right now say that?
Yeah, I know. There's another theory or something.
What's their Brangelina name?
Brangelina. Fuck that. I don't have that brain power for that right now.
One too many Pendleton drinks.
Oh, dude, ooh. I just been knocking them.
Yeah, you almost choked to death a little while ago when we first started. Pretty good.
Blended Canadian whiskey.
It's the good stuff.
But the, in spite of all the shit we've been talking about Starbucks, they are a more ethically progressive corporation than most. They do make attempt. They get their employees to participate in, you know, civic activities. They help, you know, they let you do car washes there. They help with fundraisers.
Only because of PR, nothing.
Well,
to do
no,
with,
I think
yeah.
it's I and, think it's
and
their
a,
image.
And a ton of their funding goes to disarm America. So let's keep supporting Starbucks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I know their image is one that's like, we're crunchy and wholesome and good for the earth. So that's part. Wait. I mean, they have to spend money
right.
on this.
That's
in
marketing,
order
to
do it. But that Folgers doesn't. They don't have that in their corporate identity, so they don't have to give a shit. So, I mean, they do that. And the other thing is, and this is just me, you know, flying against, you know, hating corporations. The fact of the matter is, if I pull into a Starbucks and I order what I order, I'm getting the same exact quality of thing every time I go there. I mean, if I go there, I get four shots over ice, and it doesn't matter what Starbucks I go to. If I get four shots over ice, it's delicious.
That's the fast food aspect of it.
No, it is the fast food aspect. But I can go to some random coffee shop and get four shots over ice, and it's like 50-50 half the time.
Yeah.
It's, what did you define it as?
Tree bark and diesel fuel.
That's exactly what it is at some places. And then at other places, it's completely delicious. And I know, you know, 10 times out of 10, Starbucks is going to give me the same. I mean, their machine generates the same exact shot no matter what, you know, person pushes the button.
I think that four shots over an ice is not a crazy drink, right? You worked at Starbucks. People order that?
I did all the time.
Quad espresso or something? Oh, yeah. Is that what they call it?
We actually had a name for it. It was the Ice Quad Van Damme. So to the point that I talked them into marketing that one day, and we put a sign up that says, try the Ice Quad Van Damme, and 12 people ordered it. And then my boss says, you need to take that sign down because we're going to get sued by Van Damme. He's probably broke.
Oh, shit.
That was an actual conversation.
Do you remember when you and I and the team of Best Buy teamed up and we sold all the projectors at all the stores at Best Buy from all the surrounding stores?
Yes.
Like, that just shows when you like just focus on something.
When you focus, man, like human drive, man.
We all worked at Best Buy together, and I like bought a projector, and then Brian bought a projector, and we're like, man, this is rad. This is way better than a TV. Like, it's my whole wall. I don't care if it's super high def, 60 hertz.
We killed it.
So we set up. We talked to the manager. They had like a dead space of a few feet on a wall where it was like whatever could go.
It was like printer
paper. And I was like, can we please put a projector display right there? We'll store use one projector, the cheapest one. We'll store use an overhead projection screen, and we'll put some computer speakers there, and we focus on it. We sold every single projector we had.
We were the number one.
Yeah, we had to store transfer all the projectors from all the surrounding Best Buys in California, and they all ran out. And then we were number one
in the nation.
Yeah, they like
we
hit
were
us
number
up
one in the nation.
Ask, like, what is going on over there? And we just decided that we're going to market projectors.
And,
we focused on it.
And,
sold them all.
And I played for the demo on it. I was playing all my home movies of me being like a cop and like a ninja and just.
Total. Which was probably brilliant because then it made like parents be like, oh, our kids could, you know.
But it also opened the door for us trolling. Like we were just we set up little games like, all right, you have to sell a projector, but you have to show Brokeback Mountain trailer to like
we did
to
throw
a potential
out,
dude.
We would try to say USB hole in the rear.
Oh yeah, remember we had that? A game. How many times did you say USB hole?
Yeah, you'd be like, well, it's got four USB holes in the rear, but I mean,
and DVD-A.
Yeah, there was some of that.
But well, that's we got way off coffee subject here.
Does anybody got any more coffee tidbits they want to?
Yes, out? Starbucks. I personally think they hired attractive people.
I've seen some ugly people.
No,
at
now it's a little mixture. But dude, back in 2012 and like whoa, before that, shit. When did I work there? 2008. It was always just banging hot everybody.
You know, a little
like,
brag. He said he worked there and it was banging hot everybody.
I was surprised they hired me. I think it was my brilliant Ice Quad Van Damme marketing.
Maybe you were the beginning of the end.
I was. They were like, we need to bring in some ugly.
They're like, this dude has some pretty good marketing ideas. Yeah. Bring in some more of the uglies.
Well, it was that or the, you know, they need to market a big honking dong.
I don't remember the origin story in its entirety. I know that coffee. I just
why
thought
do you
maybe,
keep pointing your pins at everybody?
I'm talking to Dave specifically, so he knows.
Fucking highlighter.
So that he would.
I wish I was a snitzel.
I think Dave knows. The island of Mocha and Java story. So like, I know it originated in Ethiopia and then they took it like across the Red Sea to Yemen or something. And then like some people in Holland got a couple plants and then they took it to the island of Java. But that's the reason that coffee is called Java and Mocha. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with anything. Like people think it's chocolate and whatnot. Yeah. No. And it has to do with that.
It's
that
from where
region.
It came from.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Browser plugin.
Just like Mexicans are called Mexicans because they're from Mexico.
Right.
Same shit.
Where you're from.
No, but no, exactly. No, that's the thing. Like everybody looks at Java
Mexico
as
City.
A, you know, Java is a slang term. Now he's pointing with a bottle of whiskey.
Pointing with a Pendleton.
And by the way, is your highlighter still working?
It's a whiskey highlighter. I heard
it's
about.
Working because he wrote. Is don't it? Make fun of.
See,
deaf
I'm such
people.
A dork for your
it
show.
It works perfect. I thought no, about it. It. Like, no, it makes sense. It was going to work. Brad was concerned that it would evaporate because it's alcohol, but I'm
it's
sure
closed.
That
and anyone who
here,
doesn't know, last week his highlighter died, so he filled it full of Pendleton whiskey.
And it's stronger than ever, actually. It's a very bright
it's
pink.
A very bright pink.
There's a whiskey scent.
And Brian, Brian's eating it.
That's probably why.
Brian's eating it.
Whoa.
Damn. I guess we've drank too much whiskey. Well, those two
sniffed
anyway.
A little too much pin.
Yeah.
I am
Dave's high. Getting high off marker right now.
Dude, he went,
no,
you went,
smell
he went in on that
yeah.
one.
I can smell it.
Well, I have a horrible sense of smell.
Let me see
so
it.
I was
Let me
really
see it.
Trying
I'll try it. Hold on a second.
I'm sitting here trying to smell
nah,
the
I don't
whiskey,
smell whiskey,
and I'm holding whiskey, and I'm drinking whiskey.
Brad had like, the I'm, best sniff because it was microphone
audible.
Friendly.
Yeah,
yeah,
the fans need to understand what
yeah,
I'm doing.
That was a good sniff.
Yeah, you can't hear me masturbating right now, but you can hear me smelling a marker.
No, I can hear it.
Yeah, Brent's. Yeah,
that's not a realistic masturbation noise.
No,
it's more
it's
like
not.
It's like. Like you're trying no, to be quiet?
Maybe you.
Was, yeah, that's what Beavis and Butthead sound like.
Well, I mean, I'm not just like openly, loudly masturbating when I do. Yeah, that's not even that. That's a little sloppy.
Where did
yeah.
we go wrong?
Yes. I don't know.
Coffee smells so good.
It's a part of your show. I'm sorry, guys.
Maybe we should just stick to the radio editions. We stay on topic better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about enemas, and you guys went on crazy.
Yeah, that was rough. Yeah,
oh, come on. You opened the door for that,
yeah,
Brent.
You like, did. You opened the back door for that
one.
Oh.
So any final thoughts on coffee?
I think that's pretty much it.
I'm sure we
I think my
all kinds
my
stuff,
final
yeah.
thoughts are I'm always conflicted. I do my best to not shop at places that fuck up the world. I do still shop at Starbucks, even though it partially fucks up the world, but it at least fucks it up less than other coffee places. That are convenient.
Well, you got to pick your poison.
You, have to
you know
pick
what I mean?
And I do my best. If I'm buying beans, I don't buy them from Starbucks. I go out of my way to honestly get, you know, I don't care if it's organic or not. I don't give a shit. But if it's fair trade and if it's shade grown, that's what I look for. It's especially hard if you drink a Keurig. There's pretty much one. Like,
yeah.
If you're like at a store, you can get like the Newman's Own blend, and it's rainforest.
Just get one of those K-cups. You can put whatever you want.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Bullshit, though.
No, like,
yeah, they suck.
It's all unfortunate because like almost every like you do that, you go out of the way to find the fair trade. Find you know. But it's weird because when you're a moral American consumer. You have to like
you
have these
stretch.
Weird. You're always choosing the best of two evils.
Right.
Like there's never
there's no way out of it. Yeah,
definitive.
It's the same. I was gonna say that the same thing. Same thing with the GMOs. We found like you almost you have to be a fucking scientist to figure out what you can eat and what you can drink in order for it to be. I mean, it's almost too much work. To
Even
be completely
then,
clean.
It is.
And that's why a majority of the people just eat what they want to eat and drink what they want to drink.
It's convenience.
No, yeah, it's convenience.
It's convenience.
There is no because if you had it's like being on a diet all the freaking time. You can only eat certain things and only get certain things. What if you got a steak? They don't have that brand.
Yeah.
You know, you're screwed. So
if you got your things figured out and knocked down where it was just like I eat this every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you had everything for each week, you drank this kind of coffee, you only bought these clothes, you could do it once you
A lot
in.
Of people
if
can't
you want
do
to know variation,
everybody
would
be skinny.
That's everybody in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
I have those like built into my routine, but it's like inevitably I didn't realize I thought I had one more pound of coffee left, and this was my last pound that I just emptied. So now I have no coffee. It's going to take 5 or 6 days to get something I order online.
Yeah.
So I have to go buy some coffee,
and
odds are it's not going to be, you know.
What exactly you wanted.
So, I do my best, but if you run, especially in Bakersfield, if I run out, my options are fairly limited.
I was about to say
that.
I was like, it's depending on your environment, too, because if you go to Eugene, Oregon, dude, it's like fucking every place is an awesome coffee shop, and it's owned by, you'll meet the guy who owns it.
Right. And they know the farmer.
And they know,
the single plantation
like they grow and they roast them there, and like it's. And they're like, yeah, come on, man. Just come on. And you, I swear to God, Frank Black from the Pixies was just playing his guitar in there because he lived there. Just I didn't know that. Yeah. And it was like, oh, yeah. So nobody, it wasn't a big deal. People were just like, oh, Frank Black. And I'm like, with fucking Pixies? Like, oh, yeah, he comes in here.
That's crazy.
Anyways, I got off subject. Sorry.
No, that's you're fine. Not. Oh, you're I mean, you're that's part of it. I mean, they have great the mom and pop and, coffee yeah. shops, just not.
Well, good thing I didn't say Jack Black. That were weird.
Yeah, I about go insane with the music inside Starbucks, though. Oh, didn't we talk about that? Yeah.
Like, oh,
I
said no.
something like, fuck, man. That shit drives me nuts.
No, when I grade I in there, I have to have headphones. Yeah.
I had
generally,
one or two.
It's weird because it's like I'll go in there some days and like because I really like I like a certain type of jazz and I'll go in there some days and that's all they're playing for hours. And I'm like, this is really cool. And then some days I'll go in there and like the only thing they're playing is like some weird fucking country or some weird, you know, world
country music.
Well, I mean, like
it's not even a mix. It's like I go there and it's just an hour straight of this type
they
of
have
music.
Their own. You do realize they have their own radio station, right?
Yeah, it's, they have their own, it's like part of the XM network.
And it goes through and what network. They do is they sell the because when I worked there
they sell the music that's there.
The
yeah.
music's right in the front on
you
the
get
different
a free
categories.
Song.
Right.
Yeah. And like yeah and you get like a free drink if you buy the CD.
Yeah.
And you can get and I haven't seen them there in a while, but for a long time they'd give you a little iTunes card that would give you this week's free download.
Well probably now
yeah, they have
CDs
them, yeah.
are,
I still
well
I still
and,
don't,
and
I don't
well what bothers me is you know I listen to you know Cypress Hill, Kid Frost,
Mariachi.
Lighter Shade of Brown,
yeah.
Yes, a Mariachi. and you know
you
I get
mariachi
in there and it's
pretty good.
Mariachi.
Mariachi.
You listen to Mexican Hat Dance.
Yeah. So you know I'm upset about it, but you know that's me personally. You know,
so you want to give another shout out for your game?
Oh,
remind
yeah.
us of the website.
Is that what's
yeah,
happening?
Just tell us yes. the website. What is the website?
So you we also have a game to play.
Oh, we do. Have
oh
to play
shit!
Game.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, we got time. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah. Let's
do it. You don't have any people like nobody called in or wrote or something. Oh, shit. Like
nope.
Viewer mail or
nobody
anything?
Likes us.
No.
You guys named off one of my quotes, and I remember Brent was like, he didn't write that.
Copy pasted that shit.
He didn't write that.
Copy. And
I wrote it, but the thing is that when a computer's in front of you, you have all the time to fix the grammar and
right.
figure out the right words.
Right. Yeah. Right.
In person, I'm like, duh, TV.
There's no spell check when you're drinking whiskey.
How many whiskeys do you drink? Only the losers. I can't do it. You guys are too good. All right, so.
I don't think so. No.
So Brian brought his own game.
I brought a game.
Oregon grown.
It's a Bakersfield boy, though. I need to know what's on the line.
Oh, I guess.
Everything.
I have a feeling that the loser gets you to do a Sean Connery impression.
Oh, mine are bad.
Yeah. So
I was trying to get you guys to do Jason Statham, but
I don't know. I guess we could. Yeah.
It's just like
okay, whoever loses does Jason Statham and gets Brian. You to do
Sean Connery.
No. Okay. So Brian and the loser. Brian and the loser has to have a conversation
yes.
as Sean Connery and the transporter.
Yep.
Oh man. You know we had this little game where we were trying to recast the voices for Lion King with the worst people we could and it was like Simba was in Jason Statham.
Oh, wow.
And his voice doesn't change even when he gets from young to old. And he talks instead of sings. All right.
Okay, so what's the game? Break it down.
The game is
the Germans are coming.
The game is called Is This a Drake Quote or a Quote from Literature?
Let's hear it.
So,
okay. Now explain to me who Drake is.
Drake is a rapper. He raps with Acorn and Little Boo Boo.
Okay.
And no, he's
started from the bottom, now we hear.
He's terrible and okay. YOLO generation people love him.
He's Canadian.
And he's Canadian. And he loves Miami. So,
there you go. So you hate, okay. you just hate.
He Drake. Actually Let's coined the term YOLO. Like, he didn't coin it, but he made it popular.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of like Paris Hilton did okay. hot. So that's
yeah, he's terrible. He's a,
right.
he's a new age rapper and he's killing hip hop.
Now my head is in.
Yeah. So you guys have to guess if this is either a Drake quote or from literature. You guys ready?
Yes.
Read on.
Here we go. Number one. 5 for silver, 6 for gold, 7 for a secret that's never been told. Is that Drake or is that from literature?
Oh.
Sounds I'm like calling it Drake.
I'm Rumpelstiltskin.
Literature.
Literature, Drake.
Drake.
It is literature.
God, I wanted literature, but I was trying to shoot for the, like, it's a rap lyric or something stupid.
Brag, it's a point, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, these are not getting any easier.
I think the advantage I have,
do you have what
I've,
it
heard,
was from?
I've heard a lot of songs.
You know, I
songs.
Originally right. did That's have, okay. I had all the sites, and then That's I fine. Printed it and left it sitting. It.
That's okay.
But, okay,
not, so
you
serious.
Can Google it. Yeah. If you care,
it's,
Google it.
It's real, yeah. Number two, ready?
Yes.
Anger's like a battery that leaks acid right out of me. It starts from the heart till it reaches the outer me. Is that Drake or is that literature?
Literature.
Got a literature over here.
I'm going with Drake again.
Drake.
I'm going to say Drake.
It is literature.
Fuck. Brad. Fuck. It's because Brad knows Drake songs.
That or
I know how he rhymes. So I'll see. I might fucking.
Hey,
get
not
them
all these are here. Actually like rhyming quotes though.
I'm going to pull Dave's black card.
All right. Ready for the third one? Everybody will talk and everybody will listen, but somehow the truth always comes up missing. Is that Drake or literature?
Brent's waiting for me.
Just based off statistics now, I feel like I should say the other. I'm going to say literature, and it's finally going to be Drake. Literature.
Literature for Brent.
I'm sticking with Drake.
Drake over here?
Drake.
It is Drake. That is Drake.
I always know when these games start that I'm going to be the guy somehow. I think
Brent,
you guys got together.
Brent, if dude, I had something to point at you, I'd tell you to get your Jason Statham voice ready.
Oh, the thing dude, is, it's
gonna
be
I'm
great.
Not dealing with the psychology. I'm just listening to the flow.
Okay. He's breaking it down, yeah. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Women need attention. Therefore, women will complain.
Literature.
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 It is Drake.
I was on the fence on that one. I was on the fence on that one.
Yeah. Sometimes I cut the lyric in half so it doesn't end up rhyming.
Yeah. No points.
That's good. That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Brent's got zero. It's all right. I live for the nights that I cannot remember with the people that I will never forget. Drake or literature?
Literature.
I'll say Drake.
Man, this game sucks. I'm gonna say Drake.
It is Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job. Where are we at? Oh God, dude. Brad,
am I staying steady zero? Yeah.
Yeah. Steady zero right now.
Just whatever the opposite I think, but then
I did
it back.
That one game.
I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Yeah. These ones are fast, so we can do fast ones. So it's lights get low, and that's when I have my brightest ideas.
That has to be Drake.
Got a Drake over here.
I think literature.
Literature.
That's actually Drake.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Brent came out of left field.
I'm on the board.
Damn. Yeah.
He sounds so sad about it.
At least I'm on the board,
you're not
guys.
That far behind.
He's like Napoleon Dynamite over there. Yeah. God, just give me a point.
Eat all the freaking cheese, Kip.
That's, yeah, you better have a better Jason Statham than coming
up. Oh, I'm prepared. I have no Jason Statham, but I'm prepared.
Okay. I don't even say his name right. Statham. You guys ready? Here we go. If wishes were fishes, we'd all cast nets.
Literature.
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 That is literature. Everybody got that one.
Yeah.
It's a little too easy. Jealousy is just love and hate at the same time.
Literature.
Drake.
Literature.
That is Drake.
Fuck.
Bullshit.
That was my
Brandy's.
I think there was like a Bernstein.
Man, UFC fighter. God.
There's two left, and I think they're the hardest.
Okay.
Because they can sway the hardest. So I'm going to make these double points.
It's rock and roll.
All right. He thrust his fist into the post, and he insists he sees the ghost.
Literature.
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 Oh, yeah, dude. They already got that one. It's too easy, that one.
Well, it's hard for you.
Yeah.
Let's just okay, go ahead. I'll explain why.
We do these games.
All right, here's the last one. It's worth 5 points. Fuck.
This is the last one. It's worth a fucking million points.
Well, Brad, you're like killing it. You know every Drake thing that ever lived.
Yeah.
He's got a poster. He has a poster.
Drake tattoo?
I sucked his giant clit.
Toronto clit.
Yeah. That was uncalled for.
Okay, so here we go. Last one. Live without pretending. Love without depending. Listen without defending and speak without offending. So it's live without pretending, love without depending, listen without defending, and speak without offending. Also, by the way, I forgot to mention that the literature could be autobiographies. That has no relevance to me saying that now. I'm just saying, I forgot to mention that. Like,
no relevance like, right now.
The all last, the questions are done. Let me clarify.
I don't know. I'll jump out literature on that one.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong.
I'm going to go Drake on that one.
I'm probably wrong, but.
Brent.
Let me hear it one more time.
Live without pretending, love without depending, listen without defending, and speak without offending.
Literature.
That is Drake.
Yes. Oh, Dave won. So Dave. Brent still lost, even with a million points
Brent
on Dave's.
Brent lost. Yeah, pretty bad. But congratulations.
I know
the winner
I can
is
that
Brad,
one.
Yellow Brad.
Still with 5 points, and I still
damn,
won.
I hit five, and I still
yeah,
won.
Yeah, well, he was killing it, man. He only got, like, two wrong or one wrong.
Yeah, I think I got one wrong. Actually, no, that was the second one, yeah. So
it was close.
So that just proves that I have a master's in English, and he has a PhD in hip-hop.
And yep. Drake. And Drakeomedy.
Yeah. We'll do Lil Wayne ones next.
Oh, dude, Lil Wayne deer.
Little Wayne deer. All right, so that's it for the Sofa King podcast. You can catch us on sofakingpodcast.com. Obviously, if you're listening to the show, you know where to get us. But we are on Thursdays from 5 to 6, Savage Radio, KSVG, 89.7 FM in Bakersfield. And shout out to sponsors. Oh, I guess you guys
Noise.
Do that?
All right, Noise.
Oh,
what, is it Australian?
Is that Russell Crowe? Hey, what's up, Russell?
Can is that Russell Crowe having a stroke?
This
is
I'm Russell, not going to talk to because I'm only hearing one of the two.
Yeah, for sure.
Am I doing the sponsor? Oh, I'm supposed to do.
Connery.
You have to do the sponsor.
Ask him.
How many dragons do you know?
Oh, that's fucking thief.
Welcome to The Rock.
You're doing an impression of Dave doing
I'm not
an impression.
Doing an impression.
Yeah, we got.
How many? The winners go home and fuck the prom queen or something. What does he say?
That's it? That was
the only time he ever cussed?
Yeah.
Your mother's a whore.
All I got's noise.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Red Ridge Beard Company.
What's happening with them sausages, Tommy?
There you go. There you go.
The worst Jason.
No thanks, Turkish.
For sure.
Can I help you?
Go for it. Yeah.
It's like, what's the job?
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, you mean to tell me these diamonds? Oh, I'm kind of going.
No, yeah. Australian.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What you going to do with that gun, Tommy?
What you going to do with that gun, Tommy?
Yeah, none of us have it.
That's a hard one to do.
Actually, yeah, I discovered the hardest impersonation to do is an Australian Bill Cosby. It's impossible.
That's pretty crazy.
Nobody will ever pull it off.
You could try to do Tyrone, bitch.
Ooh.
You going to do that? Yeah, we're going to close out with the... Oh, you going to try it? Go ahead, try it. Let's do this shit, nigga.
Bryrone is choking.
Yo, bro, you a pathetic little bitch. Yo, check it. We're going to close out. Red Ridge Beard Company. Check them out on Facebook, Red Ridge Beard Company. We got digital creations that create shit. You can go get a blanket. Chama, New Mexico by Dave. You can get it on Amazon. How much is that shit, Dave? How much we peddling that shit for, bro?
$3.99, $2.99
Hey, just check it out. Check it out, my blood. Just go to Amazon.com. Check out the book Chama New Mexico and buy that shit.
And Forever Football.
Yo, he hustling. He doing his thing. He trying to keep. Oh, and forget Forever Football. You go to www.com. You can pick that shit up right fucking now.
No, it's www.org.
Shit.org. My bad, bro. Yo, check it. So www.org. And pick that Forever Football up. You got the Kickstarter going on in 2017. You check that out. New mixtape, Tyrone and His Bitches, Volume 1. We're going to check that shit out. That's it. That's the show. That's it. So we out. Brad, you can hand that shit off.
All right, man. Thanks, Tyrone. That's it. Don't be a retard.